Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin 4 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Before learning the Gemara, let us take advantage of one of the features offered by the Shas Ozer, the cornerstone of Gemara markings, and that is the topic headings that appear in the outside margin as each new sugya appears. We have called them Nosei, and we have written Haim Muter Shehe Kusach, which is a Michael Chalavi. Is it Muter for Kusach, which is a dairy dish, to be Somuch le melach or chometz? Can it be next to salt or vinegar? The issue that will arise is the kusach being a dairy dish. If it's placed next to a bowl of salt or of vinegar, some kusach might fall into the salt or the vinegar. As everyone knows, salt and vinegar are items that a person adds to various dishes, including meat dishes. So if the kusach falls into the melach, and then you pour the melach, then you sprinkle salt onto meat, you have a meat mix, a meat-dairy combination, the salt being the sort of go-between, and likewise with regard to the melach that would have been positioned next to the kusach. Now we look in the Gemara, 4 lines from the top. Boy mine Rav Dimi me Rav Nachman. Rav Dimi asks of Rav Nachman, Mahu lanuchi kado de milcho. Kad is a pitcher or a vessel holding salt, milcho salt. Gabi kado de kamcho. Next to a, can one place this kad of melach next to a kad, a receptacle of kamcho? Kamcho is kusach, the dairy dish that we just described. Amar lei oser. So Rav Nachman answers, it's forbidden. Dechala mai. What about having the kad of kamcha next to a kad of vinegar? Amar lei. So Rav Nachman answers, shari, it's mutter. Interesting. When it comes to having the kusach or the kamcha next to the salt, he rules forbidden. When it comes to having it next to the vinegar, he rules it's okay. Umay shna, why the difference? So Rav Nachman says, L'chi techul alo kura de milcha. Before I answer you, I want you to go and measure for me. Techul is a means to measure. Measure for me a kur. Kura is a quantity of salt. In other words, I want you to be in service to me, serve me. And Rashi over here explains that this is an idea of pay me for the answer. In other words, I'll give you an answer, but I want you to receive the answer through some kind of expenditure of effort in order to deserve receiving my answer. So he says, go and measure for me a core of salt. My time. So now back to the question of what is the reason for the difference in ruling? Answer: Hai ise isura b'ene. In the case of the salt, if the kamcha or the kusach, this dairy food, were to fall into the salt, the dairy food will remain extant, b'ene extant. In other words, intact. And then, when you add the salt with the pieces of kusach in it to the meat, because you want to season the meat with salt, and inadvertently the kamcha or the kusach will get mixed up now with the meat. So you have a problem of something that is extant, the meat and or the dairy kusach getting mixed with the meat. However, v'hai, in the case of the vinegar, let's say isura v'enei, any kusach that falls into the chometz, little crumbs or pieces of kusach that fall into the chometz will dissolve. And once you have that, so the Rashi, by the way, adds, not only does it dissolve, but the kusach taste isn't even perceptible in the chometz. This vinegar is an overwhelmingly strong taste that it has to it, will cancel even the taste, so you don't have actual kusach substance, because it would have dissolved, and you don't even have taste. So there is no problem to worry about. That's what the Gemara means when it says v'hai lesei isur be'enei. The isur, the prohibited substance, in this case it would be the kusach, is not even around anymore. Now we have a new discussion. Hahu bar gozla. Before going on in the Gemara, we also again have a nosei, a topic heading that accompanies this, and we have written on the side under the heading nosei, oif shenofal lesoch kusach. A bird that fell into kusach. Of course, we're talking about bird meat that fell into kusach. The kusach is the dairy dish. Hahu bar gozla. Bar gozla is a reference to the bird meat. Shenofal lekado de kamcha, fell into a receptacle of kamcha of kusach. Sharya Rav Chinuna brei de rova mipashrunya. And Rav Chinuna, Sharya means he allowed it. Mipashrunya is the name of his place, where he comes from. Omar Rova, man chochim lemishri ki hai gavna, who is sufficiently wise to issue a ruling of leniency in a case like this, ilav Rav Chinuna brei de Rava mipashrunya, if not for him. Kosovar, well, he is of the opinion, he feels, ki Omar Shmuel maliach harehu karoi seach. Shmuel's famous teaching that says something that's salted or preserved in salt is like, it is as if it has been cooked up. Well, here you've got a situation that parallels that, the kusach falling, the bird meat falling into kusach being a salty type of food. So would one possibly consider it as if the bird meat got cooked up because it fell into the salty environment of the kusach? So we are saying no, you don't have to worry about the bird meat being considered cooked, being that it fell into the kusach. Shmuel's din, that salty environment is like being cooked up, is hani mili hecho de'enu ne'echal machmas milcho. That's when the whatever substance you're talking about, let's say the meat, fell into salt or a salty environment that was extremely salty. So that extreme level of salt, whereby it's so salty you wouldn't be able to eat it, that creates a sense of kiroseach, of it being liked cooked. Avol hai kuscha, when we're dealing with our case, the case of the kusach, the bird meat that fell into the kusach, harei nechal machmas milchoy, it's a dairy dish that people eat. So even though it's salty, people nevertheless eat it. It's therefore not considered kiroseach. It's not considered as if it were cooked up in it. The honey mili. Now the Gemara has a few qualifications. The next 2-3 lines, the Gemara will qualify what we have said. Will qualify the leniency. Vahani mili, that which we say that the bird meat that fell into the kusach is allowed, that's chai, if it's raw meat. Avot sli boi klipa, if it's roasted bird meat that fell in, then you would need to have a peeling away of the surface. In other words, if it's sli, so then there would be a thin layer of absorption that takes place into the bird meat, and that would necessitate a klipa, a peeling away of the surface. The e is be pili, and if there are cracks in it, the meat in question has cracks in it. Rashi says it's cracked and it has been roasted, so that in the roasting, the bird meat, the chicken meat, also developed cracks in it. So then, klipa would no longer be enough. You would have to have, in addition to that, it would kule also. The Gemara says it is completely forbidden. Ve'i metabel betavlin kule osur. Alternatively, if it was prepared, and Rashi says if the bird meat was cooked up in spices, and it seems from the context of the Gemara that even if it didn't have cracks in it, but it was cooked up with spices, Rashi says the spicing softens the meat to the extent that it then becomes very susceptible to absorption, and then therefore when it fell into the kusach, it makes it very absorbent, and the dairy food would then get absorbed completely into the spiced cooked bird meat, and that's what the Gemara means when it says kule osur. The entire bird meat would be osur. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a slash which indicates that we have a new discussion upon us. On the outside margin, we've labeled this nosei klali, a general topic. The reason we've labeled it thusly is because in the upcoming Gemara, there will be two separate incidents or discussions, points of discussion that have the following comment to it. So the Gemara, in our heading we've written, Bosar, talk about meat, shekola mara admumis shebo. The redness that is present in meat as a result of its blood content, if the meat under discussion no longer has this red look to it, that takes place, of course, as one, let's say, roasts the meat over a fire, so the blood drains off into the fire, and the meat no longer has this red look to it. We can also discuss the redness disappearing as a result of the meat possibly being salted. The salt draws the blood out of the meat, and hence the meat will no longer have this red look. So, common to the upcoming Gemara, the issue that you'll see mentioned a couple of times has to do with redness. So the redness is no longer there. One issue will be chotach basar al gabi kikar. You had a loaf of bread, and you took some meat that no longer had a red look to it, and you sliced the meat while the meat was sitting on a loaf of bread. Of course, the Gemara will mention that the loaf of bread then took on a red look to it, and we'll be asking ourselves, well, where did this redness come from? After all, the meat itself on the surface did not appear to have a red look to it. Another issue that will be discussed in the Gemara has to do with the placing of a vessel called a bay dugi. This is a vessel placed under roasting meat in order to accumulate the fats, the drippings from the meat, and that will be a point discussed as we go on in the Gemara. Now, the text. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel. We've circled Shmuel. We'll want to make reference to this later on. Kikar shechotach oleo basar, a loaf of bread upon which you cut a piece of meat. Osur lochla, it's osur to eat the loaf of bread. The isser based on that the loaf of bread absorbed blood. Vahani mili da'asmik. This restriction, this prohibition is true if the meat was asmic red. Vahani mili de'avre. And this is true as well. The prohibition is true if the redness penetrated the bread from one side to the other. Vahani mili de'asmiche. And the prohibition we mentioned is true if the redness was a thick type liquid. Avoklishta, if it was a liquidy thin type liquid, then less lon ba. Then it's considered just an exusion of called meat juices, as opposed to that term in Hebrew is called moihol, as opposed to dam. So less lanvah, we would be of no concern. Shmuel shadi le lekalbe. The kikar we just discussed that absorbed the redness in it. If it happened with Shmuel, Shmuel would throw it to the dogs. Rav Huna yohiv le l'shame. Rav Huna gave it to his servant. The Gemara asks, based on Rav Huna's practice, or a question on Rav Huna's practice, Manavshach, which way are you looking at things? In other words, you seem to be making a distinction that your servant, yes, but yourself, no. So the Gemara asks, Manavshach, either way, it should be a ruling across the boards, not with some type of distinction. Ishari, if you feel that it's allowed, and that's why you gave it to your servant, l'kulei alma, shari, it would be mutter for everybody. E osir, if you feel it's forbidden, that's why you did not eat it, then l'kulei alma osir, then it's forbidden to everyone, including your shamash, including your servant. The Gemara answers, in truth, Rav Huna feels that it's mutter. Shaini Rav Huna, da anino da toi. Rav Huna is different in that he is anino datoi fastidious. He is troubled by what we call this in the Gemara istinus, and his lack of it, his resistance to eating it, and therefore pushing it on to his servant, or passing it off, passing this reddish bread to his servant, is a function of Rav Huna's sensitivity and disgust in seeing the red bread, but not because Rav Huna was of the opinion that it is osir. Rava ochil lay, Rava would eat it himself. The kori lay, and he would refer to this redness in the bread, chamar bosar. The chamar is wine, the wine of the meat. In other words, you can see that Rav Huna and Rava were not viewing this redness that was absorbed into the bread as being problematic. Let us not forget, we are talking about the case of meat that was sliced over the bread. Just a note concerning our markings and numberings. We've underlined a few names in the last couple of lines. We noticed Shmuel with an underline, and we've called him Aleph. He viewed this loaf of bread as being prohibited, and he threw it to the dogs. Rav Huna, we called him Beis, in contrast with Shmuel's Aleph, and underlined Rav Huna, and said Rav Huna gave it to his servant, and we pointed out that basically Rav Huna felt that it's allowed, but he himself didn't eat it. We also called Rav Huna number one so as to connect him with Rava, who also ruled, like Rav Huna, that it's allowed, and he ate it himself, and that's we called Rava number two. So there's Rav Huna and Rava are one and two as being opinions that allow, and Shmuel contrasted with this school of thought. We had called him Aleph in contrast with the Beis over Rav Huna. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading. We alluded to this before, but here we've written it in a more elaborate fashion. Mimosai nitan lohaniach beidugi. From what point in the preparation of meat is one allowed, and we're talking primarily about the roasting of meat, because the beidugi is a kli, leklitas shuman bosr kishenitzle. This is a vessel for receiving the drippings of meat while it's being roasted. Tachas hatzli, b'shas tzlioso. From what point can one put the vessel under the roasting meat? Just to go over the basic scheme of things, a piece of raw meat that one cut out of a behemoth that was shechted has a blood content to it, and that blood is forbidden, and hence we're, amongst other things, we're roasting it in anticipation of getting the blood out. Now, at the same time, I also want to enjoy the
the fat, the drippings from the meat. So our question is concerns this issue of placing the bowl that receives the drippings under the roasting meat. Omar Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel Ein Manichim Kli Tachas Bosar Ad Sheyichle Kol Mare Ad Mumis Shebo. One is not allowed to place a vessel, which we call Beidugi, under roasting meat until all the redness departs. Well, Mino Yadinan, from how are we to know that it's that the redness level is no longer present? So we have here a marking, this volcano form, around Marzutra, and a few lines later around Rav Ashi, and we've labeled them 1 and 2. On the side, we explain these represent Nisyonos Lanois L'Shelo Hanal. These are attempts to answer the this question of what point in time or when is it that I can put the beidugi under the roasting meat. So Marzutra Mishmei de Rava Rav Papa Omar, Rav Marzutra quoting Rav Papa says, Mishetale Timroso, from the point that that vapors or smoke arises. Rashi has two explanations on this. So glancing at Rashi, at the lower part of the Rashi commentary, Mishetale Timroso, Shabosu Male Oshan, where the smoke itself start, meat itself starts to smoke. The appearance of smoke rises from the meat. Lishlach Rina, another approach, Shiu HaGecholim Malin Oshan. The coals under the roasting meat, the hot coals, start to smoke. Shekol Zman Shadam Shoisis Aleim, as long as blood is actually dripping on the coals, Einon Elokovin Vaholchim, the blood serves to extinguish the coals, so to speak, so they're not going to be smoking. Avol Kisha Shumon Noitef Hein Malin Oshan. However, after the blood has finished flowing out, and the only substance that remains dripping is the fats will actually cause the coals to smoke. So that could be that's the alternative pshat in the Tale Timroso that the Gemara mentions, namely the rising of the smoke. The first pshat was rising of smoke from the meat. The second explanation was rising of smoke from the coals. Maskif lo Ravashi, the Gemara continues, Ravashi asks, Vidilmo tato moto, ilo lo moto. Maybe when you see the smoke sign, it indicates that only the bottom part of the meat that's nearest the coals is ready, is roasted, but the upper part of the meat that's further away from the coals is not roasted yet. So that how can you, and being that it's not roasted yet, you're still having blood dripping into the beidugi from the upper part of the meat. Ela Omar Ravashi. Less le takanto. Ravashi has a different approach. He says there is no solution, Ela Mishta be tardi gloli milcha, except for throwing onto the meat and into the beidugi two hunks of salt. Rashi says, "Bein al habosar, bein besoch hakli." The salt would be put on a piece of salt on the meat, and a piece of salt into the vessel into which the drippings are falling. The characteristic of salt is that it will absorb; it draws the blood onto it, and thereby solving the problem. Umeshafye, and afterwards, the vessel that has the fats in it, it also has, we'll say, it might have a blood content, so that one is expected to pour it off slowly. The assumption being that the fats are on the upper surface of the liquid, and by pouring it slowly, the blood that may also be in there won't get mixed up with the oil, and you'll have successfully separated the oil from the blood. Omar le Rav Acha, who are at the top of Omid Beis, Omar le Rav Acha brei de Rav Ika, le Rav Ashi. Umi Omar Shmuel Hachi. Does Shmuel rule thusly? We, let us not forget, quoted Shmuel in this most recent discussion about the ability of placing the Beidugi under the meat when the redness level departs. So we are now asking, is Shmuel, is he so lenient as to base a ruling of leniency on the absence of the redness? Va'omar Shmuel. But Shmuel has already ruled, Kikar shechata chaleh basar, asur l'achla, a kikar, a loaf of bread. And of course you have a little arrow here to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with an indication to look at Omid Aleph. That means that this quote of Shmuel can be found over there. This was the earlier part of this current discussion concerning the bread over on which a piece of meat was sliced. And we were talking about a piece of meat that had already been roasted. And yet Shmuel says that even though it was roasted, and we can assume that it's the same level as we're discussing now where there's no more redness to it, yet he says that it's also to eat that bread, being that the bread absorbed blood. So how is it that Shmuel, with regard to the Beidugi, is saying when the redness level is no longer there, you can place the Beidugi under the roasting meat? And when it comes to the earlier discussion, meat that's no longer red, you cannot slice it over the bread. The Gemara answers, Shiny Hussam, the case of slicing the meat, even though the meat doesn't have a red look to it, is different and is a more severe issue. The agav ducha ka de sakina pole, as a result of the pressure of the knife cutting into the meat, it will release blood that is still internal, that's still in the meat, blood that otherwise would not get released, and therefore the blood is leaving the meat. And as we've discussed in previous Gemaras, blood that departs the original section of flesh that it was absorbed in becomes a problem. So that you're pushing blood out into the bread, that is why there's a problem. However, with regard to the Beidugi, as far as any blood that would come out of the meat, is not going to come out once the kola mara admumis shaba, and hence the drippings into the vessel where there's no involvement of any additional pressure, knife pressure, there you can rely on the fact that the meat is no longer red in look, as Shmuel said, and use the drippings at that point. As you can see, we have another slash mark indicating that which follows is a new point. On the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, and in addition to the topic, we also have a marking. And in this case, we will notice a double underline with dots in it. This highlights different items that were salted together. So, we have written on the under the Nosei, Melichas Dvarim Shonim Biachad. The issue we'll discuss is salting different items together, next to each other. Dogim Vofos is one, salting fish and bird and chicken, we'll say, together. Let us, before we go any further, just point out that fish in themselves don't need to be salted for the purpose of blood removal, because the blood of fish is not a problem. There's no doraisa problem in eating the blood of fish. In fact, under certain circumstances, the blood of fish is not usur at all. Whereas the blood of birds, and as Rashi says, when the Gemara mentions birds, it's lav dafka birds, it's not specifically birds, but any meat blood as opposed to fish, meat blood is a problem. And here we'll talk about meat and fish being salted together. Why the fish are being salted is another issue. But it doesn't figure as something important in the discussion here. All that matters is that they are being salted together with the bird or meat. The second example that we've featured with our markings is Boser Shchuta Bahadi Boser Trefa. Properly slaughtered meat that's being salted along with meat that was found to be trefa. And again, the issue is going to be does the kosher or the acceptable element become rendered unfit because it was salted together with something that's not acceptable. The Gemara, Omar of Nachman, Dogim v'oifa shemolchon ze im ze. Fish and bird meat that were salted together, asurin. So the fish are prohibited. The fish alone are prohibited. The feeling is that the dam that leaves the meat, of the bird meat, will get absorbed into the fish. Heshi domi. We still need to know more details about this. What are the circumstances? So the Gemara goes through a few stages in trying to figure out what the circumstances are. E bekli she'eno menukov. If we're talking about fish and ophos salted together in a vessel that has no draining to it. It has no holes. The holes would enable the liquid, in this case the blood, to drain off. But if it's a kli she'eno menukov, then afilu oifos v'oifos nami asiri. Then even if you had two pieces of bird meat being salted together, they would become usur. The blood exiting, leaving the bird meat, and then the bird meat is sitting in a pool of blood because it's a vessel that has no holes in it. It's not draining off. So after the salt drew out the blood, the meat would then reabsorb it if it's sitting in it. E bekli menukov, if you're talking about a vessel that had a draining capacity to it. In other words, it's a vessel with holes in it. Afilu dogim va'oifos nami shari. Then even if it were fish and meat being salted together, you would think that everything is mutter. Everything is getting drained off and leaves the vessel through the holes. Le'olam, the Gemara answers, bekli menukov. We're talking about, in fact, of a kli, a vessel that has the ability to drain off. If that be the case, then why does the fish become prohibited? The Gemara explains, V'dogim mishum derofu kirmayu. Fish, because their surface, their krum, literally, is a membrane, but in this case it means their surface is very soft, relatively speaking. Kadmi upalti, they will exude whatever exusion they have to make rapidly, and the ophos kamiti, ophos relative to the fish are considered of a sealed or harder surface. Rashi says tzomtzum means sealed, but Rashi adds klomar ein marin liflot. The exusion from the bird is not as rapid as the case with the fish. As a result of that, the Gemara explains, Boser denaychi dogim, after the fish, because of their soft surface, they finish their exusion. And at that point that the fish finish their exusion, pliti oifos, the birds are still exuding their blood content. The fish are no longer in the process of exuding. V'hoder bali minei. And since the fish are no longer exuding, but they're sitting now next to birds that are continuing to exude their blood, so at that point, the fish will now absorb that which is coming out of the birds. V'hoder bali minei, and now the fish are absorbing forbidden liquids, namely the blood of the birds, and hence they become forbidden. Rav Mori bar Rochel, imlich lei boser shluta b'hadi boser trefa. Rav Mori had some salted kosher meat, boser shluta, that was salted together with unacceptable meat, basur trefa. Also the kame de rava. So the case came to rava. Can I eat the meat that was shchuta? Amale, rava issued a ruling of stringency, and he said, hatemeim. He quotes a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, and this word hatemeim le'esar tziron v'roivon v'kipa shelahen. the Torah teaches me that when you're dealing with forbidden food substances, forbidden foods, forbidden meats, the prohibition includes not just the actual meat itself, but siron roif and v'kibushen. We have to focus right now on siron. Siron is the brine. Rotev is the gravy, and kiposhelen are little pieces of it when it's being cooked up. But the Torah is banning, is forbidding the tzir as well. Therefore, since the tzir is forbidden, the shechted meat, the kosher meat that was salted together with the trefa meat, even though the blood per se might not be a problem, this is different than the case of the fish and the ophas that were salted together. These are both pieces of meat. Nevertheless, the threat posed by the unkosher meat here is not the blood, but it's the tzir, the brine. And Rashi says, second line from the bottom, v'kevan detziron usur, since the tzir of the trefa is forbidden, mitzar habosra shochot machmas tzira trefa, the shechted meat, the kosher meat, becomes forbidden because of the brine. Shunoach libola min adam, it's more easily absorbed than blood. So that even though the blood might not pose a threat, because they're both pieces of meat, nevertheless the tzir does pose a problem, and that is why Rava will tell us that where a boser shchuta is salted with boser trefa, that it is forbidden. The Gemara at the top of Kuf Yud Gimel asks regarding this case, Valemo le midishmuel. Couldn't Rava have answered that the problem of the boser shchuta salted with the boser trefa is also for a different reason? The Omar Shmuel, Maliach Harehu Keroy Seach. So we see Shmuel saying that something that's salted is as if it's cooked up with it. Roseach meaning hot, like something roasted together. So the fact that you have the kosher, the shchuta meat salted together with the trefa, it's as if they were prepared together, roasted together. Shouldn't that be a reason for the kosher meat becoming forbidden? The Gemara says, "E midishmuel, had I just had Shmuel's halacha quoted, havamina hani mili domon, I would have thought that the problem presented would have been only because of the blood." Rashi at the top adds very important information. Hani mili domon klomar hani mili. When is it that there is a prohibition? That's legabi dam ukagon bekli she'eno melukov, as would be the case would be if you had unkosher and kosher meat salted together in a unholed vessel. There would be no drainage. The boss of the polar holder bola, that after it exudes its blood, it would then reabsorb it. So, based on the concept of Malia Hareu Karoseach, since it's a salty environment, and the meat is sitting in the salty environment, then, and only then, what I would have thought is a problem. However, Avol, Tziron Veroit Venlo, but as far as the brine presenting a problem, that, had I had just Shmuel's teaching of Malia Hareu Karoseach, I wouldn't have known about the threat that the brine also poses. Chomash Malon, that's what I need Rava's teaching, who quoted the Pasuk of Hatameim, to tell us that the brine is also a problem. As the Gemara goes on, which we will not cover in this particular shir, but we will notice by way of preview, we see triangles that appear. These will represent kashis on Rava's ruling. We just saw that the boser shchuta with the boser trefa is usur. We will see cases where it seems you have kosher and unkosher together, and the Tanaic source that we will be exposed to seems to indicate that that it is not prohibited. Hence, we will see kashis represented by the triangles, kashis questions on Rava's ruling. But in the meantime, with that, we conclude our shiur for today.